you can't fucking be an ostrich and put your head in the sand and pretend like it doesn't happen.
Yeah, mental health is like the weirdest taboo.
I am your host, Zach Weaver, and this is Made Us. Joining me this week is a good friend of mine, Mr. Paul Rogers. I asked Paul to join me this week just to shoot the shit and have a good time. And before we knew it, we were in a super serious conversation and way deeper than I expected it to go. But that's the awesome thing about having these conversations is you never know where it's going to go. In today's episode, you'll see that for sure. I will give you a warning in this episode. We start off just chit-chatting and having a good time. And we get into a very serious, deep conversation that could be hard to listen to for some people. It is extremely emotional, and it's an extremely important topic that not many people want to talk about. Of course, what I'm talking about is mental health. This episode has some really raw, really real moments in it. And I appreciate Paul being as honest and open as he was. And that's one of the things we talk about on today's episode, is asking those questions and allowing your friends to speak up, because you never know what they have to say. And if you enjoy this episode, or any episode of Made Us, go on to Apple Podcast, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and let us know how we're doing. Once that's all said and done, make sure you share the show with a friend. Sharing the show with a friend is a great way to get these stories out there, and it really helps the podcast grow. Also, if you haven't done so already, make sure you mash that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode of Made Us. And if you want to keep up with me on social media between episodes, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast, or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. If you have any guest suggestions, please drop us a line at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. I'm always looking for new and interesting guests. So if you know anybody, let us know. I want to add one more thing that I didn't add yet. This past week was my son's 8th birthday, so I want to make sure to say happy birthday, Maddox. And yes, my son listens every week and never misses an episode, so you guys shouldn't either. But I wanted to make sure and wish him a happy birthday, even though it's belated, but he deserves it. So happy birthday again, Maddox. So in today's conversation with Paul, it really went to a place that I didn't expect it to go. And it has moments of being really deep and really dark. But it was a great conversation, and I was happy to be part of it. So with all that being said, here's my conversation with Paul Rogers. So leaving hockey practice tonight, when we leave hockey practice, there's a set of stairs, and they come down to like go into the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we were walking out, and there was another woman with us and another kid with us, and the boys start down the stairs. My 4-year-old starts down the stairs, Sagan, and he gets to the bottom of the stairs, and Maddox, my 8-year-old, stops him from going out in the parking lot. And Michelle, my wife, is like, don't let him go in the parking lot. And my oldest goes, don't worry, I'm cock blocking him.
What the fuck, dude? Did he explain like where he got that from?
I have no idea where he got it from.
He probably got it from us.
Yeah.
There's every chance he got it from us.
But I don't know. We don't talk like that around him.
Yeah, that's true.
So yeah, it's super funny to me.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, like I fucking love that kid even more now.
So that sexy voice you hear across from me is Mr. Paul Rogers.
Ooh. Hey, ladies.
I appreciate you joining me tonight.
I appreciate you having me. It's been a long time coming. You're drinking water, all unprofessional-like.
I know. Normally, I drink liquor, so.
Yeah. Well, I'm straight edge, so.
I haven't been feeling the greatest, so I was like, I should probably just stick to some water to kind of
probably
get my system going back.
Yeah.
If anybody heard me last week on the episode, it was pretty rough. I was pretty nasally.
Yeah, I missed that one, so. Yeah.
Pretty nasally.
Yeah. Well, I was with you all week, so I know.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. So let's go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, my name is Paul Rogers, as Zach has already said. I'm an artist, and I currently work at Conception Gallery, Custom Tattoos and Fine Art Gallery.
Which you guys know of that spot.
Yeah. What's up? You can see me there.
That is true. That is true. What's your favorite stuff to paint?
What do you mean? Like subject matter?
Yeah.
Floral and like birds.
Floral and birds.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I dig it.
Yeah.
I dig it, man.
So much you can do with them.
What's your favorite medium to work in?
Watercolor.
Watercolor?
Yeah.
Man, I can't figure that out. I need to paint with you because I can't figure the watercolor stuff out.
Make some time, bitch. Like, you know where I'm at. Yeah, no, it's complicated, but I can't figure out oils to save my life, so...
Yeah. See, yeah. I can get oils. Oils I understand. I don't understand watercolor whatsoever.
Yeah. I've been working more with colored pencil, charcoal lately, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just because it's been a while since I've done it, and then, you know, you've had me color certain things with colored pencil, so it's fun getting used to that.
Color pencil is awesome.
Yeah. It's all you can do with it.
It is. It's way different.
Yeah.
So we had a funny conversation this morning. As soon as I came in the shop, we talked about comedians and what was it, top six comedians you want to see?
Yeah.
And we had very similar yet still differing opinions on that.
Yeah.
And anybody that knows me knows I'm a huge stand-up comedy fan. And Paul is the same fucking thing. Mm-hmm. So he is a huge stand-up comedy fan.
Yeah.
So I said my top six alive comics right now would be Bert Kreischer, Tom Segura, Ari Shaffir, Joe Rogan, Dave Chappelle, and Chris D'Elia.
Yeah.
I think that's the show I'd want to see.
It's a good lineup.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah. I think that's the show I'd want to see.
Yeah.
I think the top four guys right there, their friendship is just so silly.
Yeah.
That especially if they put a show together where they were maybe together, like on stage together, I think that'd be an amazing show.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it'd be like their podcast whenever they do one together, just on stage.
Yeah, when they're just bullshitting and at each other all the time.
Get crowd involved.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
Talk about Ari's big Junos.
And Bert's fat
and
all that stuff.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what was your top six?
It was very similar. It was Joe Rogan, Ari Shaffir, Tom Segura, not Bert Kreischer.
You're
Bert's biggest fan, and that's cool, but...
He's my best friend. He just doesn't know it yet.
Joey Coco Diaz? I think in a small room, it'd be optimal.
Yeah.
Because he's he gets the crowd involved a lot, and it'd be easier, like, a 250-seat place.
Okay.
So it'd be intimate, and I think it'd be more memorable that way.
Yeah.
So adding Joey to that, and then...
I don't think there's that many small rooms, though, is there? There's not a ton of small rooms.
No, like I think it'd have to be like just a basic ass comedy club, really. You wouldn't want to do a theater.
No, not for sure. It'd be a comedy club.
Yeah. But then Dave Chappelle and Doug Stanhope.
Doug Stanhope. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I don't know a ton about him. I know you're a big fan of him.
Yeah, I have his books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you get really into things. Like you'd really delve deep into
That's absolutely true.
Yeah. Craziness.
Yeah.
Like everything that you're into. You're into hardcore.
Yeah, I have to know everything about it. So, comedians, music, art, everything.
Where the hell did that come from?
I have no idea.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It was just in your brain that you needed to dive into things?
I guess so. Something's ticking weird up here, you know?
Like, when did it hit you that you were doing that, even?
It was pointed out to me.
Because I was like, I know that's something you have to at least be aware that you're doing.
No.
Yeah?
No, I think my girlfriend pointed it out. Really? A handful of years ago, we were on our way to a concert.
Yeah.
And it was a band I really didn't know too much about. So the whole way there, I was like Googling everything about them. So like, and that's when she made me aware of it.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, thank God for Google.
Yeah. No shit.
Where were we before Google? Google has really taken over and made everything, you know, easier to look at.
Yeah. And like with my phone, I just have to say, okay, Google.
Yeah. I feel like we fight daily and then it's like, off to Google to see who's right.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's super convenient. That's Google.
Actually,
I'm going to turn that off.
Really quick. Google.
Yeah. Turn this off. Sorry about that.
You're good. Google going off mid-podcast.
Yep.
It's good for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I noticed that about you, that you're really one of those people that like dives deep into things and really wants to know everything about it.
Yeah. Don't know why.
You don't know why.
I have no idea why.
But it's weird because it's everything. Like I've noticed that about you. It's like everything. You're like, I like this comic. And then it's like, you could tell me their life story.
Yeah.
And you're like, I like this band. Did you know in 1974, this band played with so-and-so? And
yeah.
I'm like, I didn't even know who that fucking band was.
Sorry. I gotta, you know, dump this useless information somewhere.
It does happen.
Yeah.
It does happen. So that's actually why I brought you here is because I know you're full of useless information, which I love, but at the same point, I know that music is like a huge part of your life, and that I feel like music has gotten you through a lot, and I know that you've really delved deep into music and really kind of throw yourself into it. Now, I am a fan of music. Like, I enjoy listening to stuff, but I feel like we have a totally different perspective where you really dig deep into music and really it's helped you through things and it's pushed you through things, and you really feel music more than most people. Like, where did that start?
Well, music in general, I didn't really have much of a choice in.
Why is that?
My whole family is a very musical family.
Okay.
Starting with my grandparents.
Oh, really?
I don't know if, like, their parents were super musical.
Yeah.
But my grandpa was an okay guitar player. He still breaks out from time to time.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But he has a beautiful voice, like, very reminiscent of, like, Hank Williams.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's pulling teeth to get him to sing nowadays, but... Yeah, he's beautiful voice. Same thing with my grandma.
Really?
And so that rubbed off onto their three sons, one of them being my dad.
Okay.
Beautiful voice, same deal. Yeah. His older brother can play any instrument.
Okay.
He can sing, he just doesn't.
Now, at one point, didn't they have a band with all the brothers and cousins or something
like
that? The O Brother Band.
Well, before that, it was the Generic Band. Yeah, and then that delved into the O Brother Band.
Okay.
And then they've all, for the most part, had bands together from time to time.
Okay. So you kind of grew up in that atmosphere?
Yeah, I was playing guitar before I could write.
Holy shit,
to man. My dad's detriment, because I'm left-handed.
Oh,
and
boy.
So he was teaching me right-handed guitar, and I could just never get it.
Yeah.
Like, I know some basic chords, and I tried for a long time. I wanted to play guitar really well, and I just fucking couldn't do it.
Yeah, that's weird when you're trying to be taught the opposite way.
Yeah.
I have that problem, too. Not that I personally have that problem, because I don't fucking play any instruments. I'm pretty worthless when it comes to that. But I notice that when I'm trying to, like, help my kids, because I'm left-handed, but my kids are right-handed.
Yeah.
So I always have to, like, overthink how to explain things to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're kind of, you're wanting to fight it the whole time. You know, you're trying to show them something, but you're, like, realize it's backwards.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, really overthink how to show them something. Which is weird that I say that, because I'm left-handed, and I do a lot of things right-handed.
Yeah.
And then my oldest son is right-handed, but he does a lot of things left-handed. Like sports, like he bats left-handed, throws left-handed, does all that stuff left-handed.
Yeah.
Where I'm the opposite. Like, I am left-handed, but I do everything sports-wise right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird.
Yeah, so just never could get the hang of playing guitar, so I just reverted to listening to music.
Okay.
Instead of playing it.
Yeah.
I still have a bunch of guitars. They just sit around collecting dust. I'll tune them from time to time, but...
You're like, I got this part.
Yeah. And it's mostly just sentimental value.
Yeah.
Just because, like, I have a Les Paul. It's a Gibson. I don't know how familiar you are with
I'm
that.
Not familiar with, but you could tell me.
Yeah. Well, it's a cheap model of a Les Paul, but my dad bought it for me.
Oh, that's a big deal. Yeah.
And so it just sits there, but I can't bring myself to get rid of it. But I also can't bring myself to try to learn how to play the fucking thing. So it just sits there. And then I have a Dean Dimebag Darrell edition.
Really?
Yeah. Black Bolt, the Dean from Hell.
Nice.
And it, same thing, just kind of sits there, but I can't bring myself to get rid of it.
You have a collection of guitars and don't play the guitar.
Yeah, that's true. I have a banjo, too.
You have a banjo?
I have a fucking banjo.
Can you play it at all?
No.
Dude, that's the banjo is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, people that can really play the banjo,
yeah,
that shit is nuts.
And it's, I think it just has to come natural to you.
Yeah.
Like, just last week, we went to see Dropkick Murphys.
Okay.
And one of the openers for them was this guy. He goes by Amigo the Devil. You should check him out. He's fucking awesome.
Amigo the Devil?
Amigo the Devil.
Okay.
But he...
What kind of music is that? I don't know anything
about like
him.
He's like Doom Americana.
The fuck is that?
I don't know. It's like weird, folky, but he sings about really fucked up shit. Like, he has one song called Dahmer Goes Hollywood or Dahmer Does Hollywood.
Oh, geez.
And it's just a song written by the from the perspective of Jeffrey Dahmer, but he moves to Hollywood and just starts killing and raping dudes out there.
And that's, oh my God.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
That's crazy. Yes.
But he plays, like, I'm pretty sure it's like a Martin acoustic.
Okay.
It's a certain model I don't know too much about, but it has a very hollow sound.
Okay.
That adds this beautiful eeriness to it, but he also plays banjo.
That's fucking cool.
And the things he was doing with that banjo, it wasn't like super bluegrassy or anything.
Yeah.
But he was strumming it just right to where it brought on this beautiful sound, but also very eerie sound.
Oh, geez.
And it was fucking awesome.
That's awesome. Where'd you see them at?
20 Monroe Live in Grand Rapids.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not too far from here.
No, it's like an hour and a half drive.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
I've seen a few shows there.
Yeah. You're big on going to shows, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't done shows in years. I'm old. I'm not even that old. I don't like people that much anymore.
Me either. Like, that's the most social I can typically get.
Yeah, at the show.
Yeah, and I don't really talk to people. I just stick to myself or whoever I'm with.
You're like, I'm down here in the middle of these people, and that's as close as I'm getting.
Yeah. Like, we saw Arctic Monkeys last year.
Yeah.
And I was in the merch line, and this drunk girl was trying to talk to me. And finally, I just happened to mention, like, hey, my girlfriend's right here.
Yeah.
And, like, after I mentioned that I was with my girlfriend, she left me alone.
Oh, nice.
But, like, I just didn't want to talk to her. I just want to buy this fucking t-shirt, get a couple drinks, and get back to my seat before they come on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not interested in socializing with people there.
You're like, no, I don't. I'm not here for you.
Yeah.
I'm here for the band.
Yeah. Treating my girlfriend to a nice night out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the last show that we went to, I think we saw Hero Jr. play not too long ago. Well, I say not too long ago. I think we saw Hero Jr. play And then, man, before that, I couldn't tell you. Before we had kids, we'd go a couple times a year.
Yeah.
But, man, after that, no, I tell you what, I think the last people we saw was Straight No Chaser. We saw them in South Bend.
Okay,
yeah. It was an acapella group, all-male acapella group. They're fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That shit's crazy to me.
I've heard of them. I'll have to check them out.
It's an all-male acapella group, but they put out the sound they put out with no, you know what I mean? Because it's acapella, there's no instruments, but they do full songs. And I mean, it's really incredible to hear them perform. It'll bring a tear to your eye in some of the stuff they do because it is beautiful.
Yeah.
Some of it's just cool, but some of it's just absolutely beautiful because there's
just mind fuck and like,
yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of music are you into, man?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
No disco.
No disco.
Fuck no.
Why not?
I Was Made for Loving You by Kiss is the best you'll get out of me.
I don't know if I know that song.
I'm not going to sing it.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. That was getting so good.
Yeah, no, it's a good goddamn disco song, but that's the only time you'll ever hear me say that.
I forgot they kind of did the disco stuff.
I think it was just for one album, and it was just to appeal. I think it was more of a statement like, hey, anybody can do this.
Really?
Yeah.
I just figured it was for money.
Probably.
I mean,
Gene Simmons is involved. It's probably for money.
Yeah, I was figuring it was more for money than a statement.
Yeah.
Like Lonely Island Boys, I feel like they did it for a statement.
Yeah.
To be like, look, we can do this. Yeah. Anybody can do this garbage. Speaking of music, and I've been floored by this, and I know I made you watch it today, and I've been talking about it.
Yeah.
The fucking Masked Singer has absolutely floored me. And I know by the time this episode comes out, the finale will be over by a week. But it is absolutely phenomenal. And anybody that hasn't seen it needs to go watch The Masked Singer. I don't even know what it comes on ABC. We watch it on Hulu, but I think it comes on ABC. But it is incredible to see these people. Well, not even because you're not seeing them. They're in these costumes, these real elaborate costumes. Like the final three. And anybody that hasn't seen it, I'm not going to tell you who they are. I want you to go watch it. But the final three is the bee, the peacock, and the monster. And it is absolutely amazing because these people can really sing. Like they are doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the people you kind of understand who they are. I mean, you can hear it right away. The woman that plays the bee is a very iconic voice.
Yeah.
It was amazing to watch her sing. It brought a tear to my eye, like listening to her sing.
Yeah.
Because it was that powerful. That show is amazing.
Yeah, she's one of the greats.
Yeah,
and it's really cool that they got her on there.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
And then the person that wins, which again, I'm not trying to spoil it for anybody, but I never expected it to be him.
Yeah, shock of a lifetime.
Shock of a lifetime. You know, I brought it up to you, even though you weren't even watching the show, I brought it up to today, like just brought it to you and was like, look at this.
Yeah.
Holy shit, look at this. This is crazy. I didn't know he could sing like that.
Yeah, he's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's just a damn shame, like, what he puts out there that you would never guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
It is fucking awesome. Man, I love people that have actual talent.
Yeah.
I think that's a big separation for me is I enjoy almost any genre of music, but it has to be, like, talent. Like, there has to be talent there. There's so many things that I've heard that I, like, I really like that. It's something I wouldn't necessarily listen to, but you can tell, like, it took talent to do that. It wasn't just, you know, some writers in a room and a DJ and whatever. You know?
I can appreciate just about any kind of music. It's personal taste, you know?
Yeah.
Can't do like EDM. I know there's like work that goes into it, but it's just boring.
Yeah, it's not for me.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
I know several people who like go to these crazy weekend long festivals.
Yeah. I don't get that either.
When I go to a festival, there's like a good breakup of musical talent, you know? Like, it could be country to metal over the course of a day.
Yeah.
But whereas with EDM, it just all sounds the same to me. And then some weird fucking... I think we just wrote a hit.
I think we did.
Yep.
I think the last festival I went to was... like 2005, we went to Ozfest.
Yeah. How was that?
That was a really good year.
Yeah.
That was... We went to Appleton, Wisconsin, my wife and I, and I think Zombie was there. He's played a stripped down set. I'm trying to think who else was there. Killswitch Engage was there. That was the year that Iron Maiden was there, and they quit like halfway through because everybody was giving them such a hard time.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Iron Maiden, dude. Why the fuck would you do that?
Because I don't know what happened. Something happened between Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath, because Black Sabbath was on that year.
Oh, yeah. That was like their return year, wasn't it?
Yeah. And there's something happened. Like... personal behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And they just fucked with them like the whole tour. They turned their power off, turned their sound off like mid show. At some point they had people in the crowd throwing stuff at them, but it came out that it was like tour people.
Okay.
Yeah. So in Iron Maiden left like halfway through the Ozfest tour. Now they were at the show we went to, But they left like halfway through.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, at least you got to see them.
Yeah, craziness. Yeah. People are fucking assholes. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, people suck.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Some people are cool. Yeah. You're all right.
So with music, is it something that really just drives you? Is it something that inspires you?
I think so. Just trying to think of how to explain it. Okay, so I'm a visual artist.
Okay.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I paint, I draw. But seeing other visual art doesn't inspire me. I can appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah.
And think, hey, that's very beautiful, but I'm not gonna be inspired by it.
Okay.
Whereas if I just have a song playing in the background, as the drawing progresses with the song,
yeah,
it's like they go hand in hand together. And so when I do bust out a painting from time to time, it's always named after whatever song I was listening to when I started the painting.
Yeah.
Even if like thematically they're not the same, it's just, it helps with the progress.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So like if you told me to draw something, mm-hmm, right now, we don't have music playing.
Yeah.
I could do it because I'm being told what to draw.
Yeah.
But it's like this weird introspection that I have when I'm listening to a song that I'm really able to pull an original thought out and bring that to life.
That's interesting. That's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I haven't done too much of that. You know, I used to sit up and paint and listen to some music, but I feel like my painting would always, I mean, I guess it was affected by the music, but I don't know that it was affected positively by the music. It would change my mood. It would change how I felt about things,
yeah,
which I guess is good for music. I mean, obviously that's something it's supposed to do is, mm-hmm, but I felt like, you know, you're using it to make your art a positive or to kind of push your art along.
Yeah.
And I felt like it only dampened my heart when I did that.
That makes sense. I guess it's not a process for everybody.
Yeah. I think with me, you know, I needed background, but I always put like movies on, something like that.
Yeah.
Which I think is like one of the processes I went through at the shop. You know, we always watch movies and stuff like that at the shop because I feel like, first of all, music is so subjective.
Yeah.
You know, it's really subjective to what people like. So not everybody's going to like what's being played. So that's one reason I lean away from music. But I think the other thing is I don't want it to affect me. So that's like, you know, I put a lot of, you know, watch a lot of movies, a lot of stand up, a lot of funny things where, yeah, I think I can drown it out a little easier,
mm-hmm,
you know, and focus on what I need to do or have a good time and laugh. But I don't feel like it affects my art as much as it music would.
Yeah, I get that too. Like when we're sitting back there drawing and we have comedy on or just something lighthearted.
Yeah.
I feel like it gets what you're setting out to accomplish initially,
mm-hmm,
done, so it doesn't turn into something that you weren't expecting it to turn into.
Yeah.
Whereas with music, it does. I absolutely see what you're saying there. And yeah, I for sure,
yeah,
I have the same process, but when it's just a painting.
Yeah. Do you like to let music inspire you?
Yeah, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's a conscious decision.
Yeah.
When I do that, it's just what happens. And I just feel like that's what has helped me the most.
Okay.
Besides, you know, advice from you guys and other artists and stuff. But like, you know what I'm trying to say, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And I typically enjoy the outcome initially until I tear it apart. And then I fucking hate whatever I just produced and I want to throw it out. During the process, I feel like, yeah, I enjoy myself, man. I just have fun with it.
Yeah,
just roll with it.
That's really cool. Yeah, I think that's a big thing. And I think, you know, knowing that music is kind of a big part of your life and kind of being around that, I think it's neat to see that you're doing this as well. So I know we talk about, you know, music kind of driving your art, but I feel like it also kind of helps with your, you know, drive your life a little bit.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a moment in your life that's really been either driven by music or helped through by music?
Yeah. So I'll have to start from a different beginning there, so I can begin with music necessarily. I started tattooing when I was 18.
Okay.
And circumstantially, like a year and change later, I had to quit.
Okay.
And I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
It's the greatest thing I've ever done. I fucking love doing it.
It's a job that you can really fall in love with. There's not many of them.
It's the only job I've ever had that didn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And having to quit doing the one thing, like, nobody that age starts to do what, nobody finds what they want to do.
Yeah.
And stick to it. I'm a very fortunate person that I did, but then I had to quit doing it.
Yeah.
And I knew my experience, I wasn't good enough to walk into like your shop and ask for a job, even though we were friends at the time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to put that on you or anything like that. So I just kind of went back to working for my family, which is a cool job, but it's not inspiring to me. It's not.
Yeah, it's not doing what you love and doing what you want to do.
Yeah. So I became very, very depressed.
Okay.
For a few years. And I didn't recognize that until later on, like way later, for a couple of years, I didn't realize like, oh shit, this is depression.
Yeah.
And I became a recluse. I was just shitty to everybody.
That's tough.
Yeah, man. And it wasn't a conscious decision. I never realized it.
Well, yeah, I don't think depression ever is. Depression is never a conscious decision. Yeah, you know, it's not. It's something a lot of people don't even realize they're dealing with at the time that they're, you know what I mean? And I don't want to say until it's too late. By the time you realize you're dealing with depression, you're in it now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a new thing. You know what I mean? It's not like all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm depressed today.
Yeah.
You know, like you're in it at that point.
Yeah. And unfortunately for me, it was a too late thing.
Yeah.
I was taking it out on everybody without realizing it. My girlfriend in particular, because I saw her the most often.
And yeah.
I was not a good boyfriend. I was very distant and cold and didn't make her feel particularly good about herself. Just with the way I would react to things.
Yeah. That's the people that usually take it out on the most is the people that are closest to you.
Mm-hmm. And it was, she would tell me, like, she's always been great about calling me out on my shit.
Yeah.
And I feel like you need people like that.
Absolutely.
And she would let me know how it'd make her feel, and then I would feel like shit about myself, and then do it again the next day.
Oh, geez.
And it was tough. And so, this comes back to you.
Okay.
One day, you texted me, offering me a job.
Yeah.
And I felt this huge weight off my shoulders. Like, I felt physically lighter, like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't tattooing, but just working in your shop. I love spending time there. I'm inspired when I'm there, even having worked there for a year now.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate hearing that, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. I fucking love working there, man. It's my dream place. And yeah, ever since I was like 18 and first came to get tattooed by you, like, I knew this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I was home that day, and I looked over at her, and I was like, holy shit, Zach just offered me a job. And I could tell she wanted to be excited for me.
Yeah.
But she had been dealing with me for so long that, like, she had had it in her mind. She had her mind made up, rather, that, like, that's cool, but, like, something needs to change.
Yeah.
And it can't change with us being together.
Yeah.
So, in the moment that my depression is lifted from, like, shit, I'm at least going to be around what I love doing.
Yeah.
Then a whole new one settled in, man, of, like, fuck, I know, like, we're about to break up any day now.
Yeah.
And we eventually did, and it really made the first few months working for you, I felt like I was not living up to my potential because I was just stuck in my own head.
Yeah, it's hard, especially when you have that, like you said, you have that one weight lifted from you. And then it feels like immediately someone just put another weight on you.
Yeah. And I don't blame her by any means. She probably should have done it sooner. Silver lining. We're back together. Everything's cool now.
Yeah.
But
you had to take time to work through that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I learned a lot just in the few months we weren't together. But music really helped me through that. Specifically one song.
And what's that?
It Ain't All Flowers by Sturgill Simpson.
Okay. I don't know that song. I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. I'll play it for you later.
Okay.
Obviously, copyright issues. We can't play it right now.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's off of one of his albums, Meta Modern Sounds in Country Music.
Okay.
It's kind of like a very traditional country album, but it sounds like it was recorded in space, kind of.
What?
A very weird effect. And like none of it was like computerized or anything. It was all recorded on like old equipment.
Really?
Like from like the 70s, 80s, that style.
Was oh,
all
that's
recorded
awesome.
On tape. So all the really cool effects you hear are all done on tape and in mixing.
Nice.
Rather than the computerized. And it's really cool.
Yeah.
But the themes in that song, it's like, it almost feels like he was writing to tell you what he's been through.
Okay.
And It Ain't All Flowers specifically is a very introspective song.
Okay.
And it feels like, and I don't know what he was going through when he wrote it, and if he was even going through anything, or if he was just looking back on shit he's done.
Yeah.
The first line is, I've been cleaning out the darkest corners of my mind.
Okay.
And I'd been listening to the album for a while up to that point, but hearing that line, I was like, oh shit, I finally understood what he was saying.
Yeah.
And so I would listen to that song every fucking day. I had a journal I would write in at night, and okay. I would listen to that album on loop
yeah.
as I was writing. and then I'd like go to sleep to it. And just the themes of that song really helped me through it and understand what exactly I'm going through.
Yeah.
It ain't all flowers. You're going to get through it.
Yeah. That's cool.
The exact line is, it ain't all flowers. Sometimes you got to feel the thorns.
That's deep.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what you're going through.
Yeah. It helped me recognize what I was going through and inevitably get me through what I was going through, to the point where I feel like now I'm a better person. I'm in a very good place in my life.
Yeah.
My girlfriend saw that. We worked things out. We spent a few months kind of really getting to know each other again.
That's cool.
And things have been great since.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before you came to work for me and you said that you were really battling depression, you know, you think that that was from having to leave that other shop? I mean, you think that's kind of what led that on, or you think there was some more there?
There may have been more there.
Yeah.
I don't think leaving that shop necessarily, because it wasn't a good environment. There's a reason I left.
Yeah.
I wasn't bummed about leaving that shop. I was just bummed about, fuck, man, I can't tattoo out of my house. I respect the business more than that.
Yeah.
So I think almost immediately after, you know, I realized, like, fuck, man, I can't do this anymore. And I know nobody's going to take me seriously if I give them this portfolio. So I just tried to just paint.
Yeah.
And just work on my artwork, which was cool, but it wasn't the same, you know?
Yeah.
And like, everybody who tattoos should be working on their artwork anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
But like, there's no reward, you know, for just painting for painting's sake, unless it's just as a hobby. Instead, it's like a supplement.
Yeah.
And it's not the same. It's not rewarding in any way, or yeah, in the same way, rather. You know what I'm trying to
yeah,
say?
Yeah, it's definitely different. It's not that it's not rewarding, but it's just not, it doesn't have the same amount, because you're not giving it to somebody. You're not, you know, you're not rewarding somebody with it.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of, and painting for yourself is good, but I get what you're saying, that it just doesn't have that same value sometimes.
Yeah. So I think it set in right away.
Yeah.
And I think a good 3-year long stretch, and it just got worse and worse, because
yeah,
I would talk like, I'm going to be tattooing someday. Like, my goal is honestly whatever I can to go work for Zach.
Yeah.
Like, that was my goal. And it just seemed further and further away the more I talked about it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of that was getting into my own head, because obviously out of the blue, you just contacted me to come work for you, which is super cool.
Yeah. No, I do think there's a lot of times we get into our own heads. I'm really bad about it.
Mm-hmm.
If something happens, there's a lot of times where I will way overthink things and it turns out to be nothing. You know, the phrase, you make a mountain out of a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happens a lot. And then you just continue to spiral down, you know, further and further down. And it's good that you were able to semi-recognize what was going on. You know, it might have taken you a while.
Yeah.
But it's good to semi-recognize that, because some people don't recognize that. You know, we talked about it today, and this is a super deep subject, is the comedian Brody Stevens.
Yeah.
You know, he was battling depression, and he ended up taking his own life.
Yeah.
Which is incredibly sad.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, maybe you weren't in, you know, necessarily in that place, but to be able to understand it and find a way back out of it, you know, is key.
Yeah.
Some people need medication, some people need something, you know, but it's really sad when you see something like that.
Yeah. I recognized it.
Yeah.
But even working through, or trying to work through it rather, you still have those thoughts. Like, I'm not ashamed to admit, like, I've had suicidal thoughts.
Yeah.
Which in turn just pissed me off that I was having them. Not because, like, I feel like I'm above that. It's
yeah,
just like, you know, fuck that, dude. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, there's more
thinking
to this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's tough.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I had last summer, or last spring, I had a really good friend of mine take their life.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, incredibly shocking to all of us. She was, you know, a mother of four children and a great person, a great loving person. And we had no idea
yeah,
that she was going through what she was going through. I never would have expected it from her.
Yeah.
Even the day that we found out, you know, we didn't believe it was real. And it's such a dark thing, and such an important thing to talk through and to talk about and to try to get help with. You know, too many people don't want to talk about mental health
yeah,
or depression. And it's super serious. And, you know, and watching somebody go through it and lose the battle to it like that
yeah,
sucks.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
You know, and you've seen it. We've dealt with the, you know, not to get too personal with anybody, but, you know, we've dealt with her husband, you mm-hmm. know, and just to see him, you know, and to see their kids.
Yeah. I think he's doing the best he possibly can. And I obviously didn't know him
yeah.
prior to one session you did on him.
Yeah.
But he seems like he's handling it as best as you could ask anybody to.
Yeah, he really is.
And he's obviously there for his kids. He's all about his kids. You can tell that. He brings his daughter to the shop when he comes to get tattooed. And
yeah.
Yeah. Don't know him very well, but I'm very proud of the way he's handling it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I would do the same thing, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's incredible to watch the way that he's been able to handle it.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I mean, it has been... I don't know that I could handle it as good as he did,
no.
you know, and obviously he's had his downtimes and him and I've talked about it, but you know, it's really important to make sure that people seek help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you never know what someone's going through.
Yeah. That's why I try to be as kind
yeah.
to everybody that I come across, man.
Yeah. I think that's really important.
Yeah. Like even people I know I don't like personally, I'm still going to be a friend to them when I'm around them.
Yeah.
Because I know what they could be going through and what friendship has done for me.
Yeah.
That whole subject, man, it's fucked up. I've dealt with it.
Yeah. It is really fucked up. It's something, you know, you don't want people to have to deal with, but it's the real world.
Yeah.
And you can't, you know, you can't fucking be an ostrich and put your head in the sand and yeah. pretend like it doesn't happen.
Yeah. Mental health is like the weirdest taboo.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Like nobody wants to talk about it.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
Like, even when people do decide they're going to talk to people about it,
yeah,
the way people pussyfoot around the subject, like it makes them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Well, like, this is your friend, man, and you're not going to have this deep conversation with them. That could be the highlight of their fucking year.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you would even just listen to them and just give an honest answer to a question they have for you or anything, you know?
No, that's huge, man. You're absolutely right there. Is really just... you know, lending an ear and allowing that person to kind of open up to you, mm-hmm. you know, or like you said, giving them an honest answer, that could be the highlight, you know, and that could really help them.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy. Wow, that went deep. That went way deeper than I meant for it to go.
Yeah. What kind of music are you into, Zachary?
Fucking everything. Anything that's good.
Yeah.
Really, honestly. I listen to a lot of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And lately, my boys have been into weird rap music, so we listen to weird rap music.
Fuck yeah, I dig it.
They also listen to, and it sucks. It doesn't suck. I won't say that it sucks. There is a YouTube family. It's FGTV, and you can tell the dad wanted to be like a rapper or something,
yeah.
because they do a bunch of like funny rap songs. But if you listen to them, like, they're actually done really well.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, fuck, this dude kind of knows what he's doing. Yeah.
It also helps that like the production values on that thing are like way more, like just better than we could ever.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So the boys have been listening to that. So we've been listening to a lot of that.
Yeah.
So if I'm not listening to a podcast, we're typically in the car listening to some FGTV song. They have them on iTunes. I haven't bought them on iTunes, but I'm probably going to end up having to buy them on iTunes.
Probably. You can't take YouTube everywhere.
I know. Well, we do. Luckily, we have our phones. YouTube's on our phones.
That's true. So, but I'm just talking like when you don't have signal.
That's
true.
You
just download some iTunes.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good idea. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. Maybe it's not a good idea.
No, maybe you're right. Maybe that's not a good idea.
It's a double-edged sword there.
It is a double-edged sword. Oh, man. I didn't think about that. That is fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to wrap this up the way we wrap up every podcast.
Okay.
If you had a piece of advice for somebody, whether it's, you know, somebody dealing with depression, somebody, you know, wanting to be an artist, somebody wanting to delve into music or just letting music take them where they go, what would it be?
Maybe not music in general, but just finding that something that drives you.
Yeah.
Or at least helps to drive you. Obviously with me, it's music, but just something that motivates you to get shit done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a very horrible and vague answer to your question.
No, but I get what you're saying is really finding that why, you know.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about that before, and I've talked about it on the podcast before, but finding the why of why you want to do something and what drives you.
Yeah.
And I'm a really big proponent of being like pretty brutal with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Destroy yourself internally, man.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be your own worst critic with anything you do.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you're going to progress.
Yeah.
Because absolutely. It's so easy to find a high horse that you do not deserve.
Yeah.
And sit on it because you think you're King Turd on Shit Mountain, but that's just not the case. Nobody is the best at anything.
Absolutely.
And if you think there's no room for improvement, fucking find something else or get in the back of the line and start over.
Yep. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree wholeheartedly about being your own worst critic. I think by callousing yourself with yourself, that if you've calloused yourself by being your own worst critic, then no one can hurt you.
Yeah, you absolutely. Know what I mean? Yeah.
And I think that's something I've really tried to drive for, is to be my own worst critic, so that there's nothing that you can really say that's going to hurt me because I've already said it to myself.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think that's key.
Yeah. And then separate piece of advice, something that I got from my 12th grade physics teacher, Michael Latus. We don't need to edit out his name. He's a great guy.
Okay.
He told me, because he saw that I had started tattooing and that I gave up on school.
Yeah.
Because, nope, this is what I'm going to do. I don't need this school. I don't need to go to college. And so he came up to me and said that he thought, you know, it's really cool. They've already found what you love to do. And I'm going to tell you the same thing I've told my children. Do what you love, because you're going to do a lot of it. And those have been my words to live by, man.
That's awesome.
I think about that all the time. And, you know, I didn't learn a fucking thing in his class, but he gave me some of the best advice that anybody's ever given me. So I present it to you.
Hell yeah.
The people.
Mic drop.
Boom.
Thanks for joining me tonight.
Oh, thank you for having me, buddy.
You're the one person that has an idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, I'm excited. I forgot where I was going.
It's all right.
Something, dark side.
God damn it. You beat me to it.